Let's pray. Father, as we come to you today and we open your word and receive what it is you have for us, Father, I just pray that we can take these lessons into our hearts and our minds and apply it in our life so that we can take from this place what you have to show us so we can apply it in our life. Not just hear it today and forget about it, Father, but to take it from this place and apply it in our life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We'll be in Matthew. The 7th chapter. Heard this scripture many times. I'm sure this is Jesus speaking. It's in the part of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is delivering. Listen to the words I read. This starts in Matthew, the 7th chapter. I'm going to start with the first verse. Jesus says, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you seek a speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to maul you or attack you." There's some lessons to be learned here. One of the things, I think the only exercise some people get is to jump to a conclusion. Jump to judgment. This is not something new. This has happened for thousands of years. In fact, Jesus, in the scripture that we just read, talks about that. He said, "Do not judge so you may not be judged, but with the judgment you make, you will be judged, and the measure you give will be measured to you." There's more to this teaching than simply warning us to come to a quick conclusion about other people. There's a words here condemning us about judging people without knowing the situation, without knowing the people, just jumping to conclusions. Jesus says we need to be careful about that. Well, why do you think we need to be careful about that? Sometimes when we judge other people, we don't know the whole situation. We don't know, we may not even know the person that well. How many times have we thought something about somebody and come to find out what we thought wasn't what it was at all? We need to know the situation. Let me give you an example. If I were to ask you if Stephen was wrong, we would all say yes. Absolutely. But do we judge a man who steals a loaf of bread to feed his children the same way we judge a man who takes a gun and robs an elderly couple at the ATM? Do we judge them the same? I think not. I don't think we do when we know the situation. I'm sure if we knew some of the situations that people are living in, instead of condemning them, we might be wondering how they were as good as they were. Listen, we are not omnipotent. We may think we are, but we are not all-knowing. Only God is that.
Amen.
We don't know the entire situation. We don't know the whole story. We don't know what this person was thinking. We don't know so much. And we don't bother to investigate it. We just jump to a conclusion, a judgment. That's a dangerous thing to do. Simply because we don't know it all. Here's another reason that Jesus puts in this scripture here why we shouldn't do that. It says, "For the judgment you make, you will be judged, and the measure you give will be measured to you." If you are hastily judging other people, other people are going to do the same to you. Just in a few verses later here, Jesus gives the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's important we don't jump to conclusions. We don't judge people right off. We investigate it. We try to understand what's going on. But there's more here. Jesus goes on to say, "Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye and don't even notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, 'Let me get the speck out of your eye,' when there's a log in your own eye? You hypocrite," it says. "First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye, the neighbor's eye." When Jesus told stories, he painted pictures, big pictures. Obviously, it's impossible to have a log in our eye. But when Jesus tells a story, he paints a big picture. He wants us to understand exactly what he's talking about. He wants, in this particular scripture, he wants us to see the sin in our lives is so much bigger than what we're trying to judge this other person for. When Jesus paints pictures, he makes it one time in the scripture, Jesus says, "If your eye offends you, pluck it out." Now, he really doesn't want you to pluck his eye out. Mm-hmm. He's trying to make a point. He's painting a picture. How important it is for us to look here first. Let me give you a story. It's in 2 Samuel. This is a perfect example of what I'm talking about. Let me kind of set the scene for you here. We're going to be talking about David here. David is at his moral lowest. He has taken another man's wife. And to cover that up, he has sent this woman's husband to be killed on the front line so people wouldn't question him about it. This is King David. Okay. This is where he was, right? So let me read to you this story in 2 Samuel. The 12th chapter. Listen as I read this and see if this doesn't make sense to you. "And the Lord sent Nathan, the prophet, to David. He came to him and said to him, 'There were two men in a certain city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had very many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing but one little ewe lamb, which he had bought. He had brought it up. It had grown up with him and with his children. He used to eat of its morsels and drink from his cup and lie in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now there came a traveler to the rich man, and he was unwilling to take one of his own flock or herd to prepare for the guest who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. Then David angrily, with great kindled against the man, said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, this man who has done this deserves to die. And he shall restore this land fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity." What does Nathan say? "David, you are that man. You are that man." What I'm talking about is exactly what you did. This is exactly what Jesus is talking about. Before you take this speck out of your neighbor's eye, you need to take this log that's in our own eye. We need to be careful about judging other people. Jesus is making it very clear. We can't condemn others and not look to ourselves first. For we don't condemn other people, we don't judge other people simply because we ourselves aren't perfect. But there's one more issue that needs to be covered here. Do you think this admonishment from Jesus about judging means that we are to ignore the evil that surrounds us? Absolutely not. Jesus is not saying that. In fact, how does he end these verses that we just talked about? "Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them underfoot and turn and maul you." What is Jesus saying here? He's simply saying there are times we are called to make judgments. It's important and we need to be careful about it, but there are times when it's necessary. In a few scriptures later, Jesus is talking about, he says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves, for you will know them by their fruits." In order for us to judge a false prophet, we're going to have to make a judgment on our own. We'll have to see the fruits of this prophet and judge whether or not he was a false prophet or not. Sadly, in today's church, in today's society, so few people feel compelled to exercise good judgment and to stand up and speak for what is right. Sometimes it takes the awfulest offense, the most horrible thing we can imagine, before we'll stop and say, "Man, there's something wrong about this. There's something wrong. We need to change what's going on."
Teresa, this way.
She just...
Yeah, wrong way. You're right.
Take something really, really bad before we will stand up and say something about it. Ask someone to leave a church, not this day and time, you just don't do it. Are people afraid? They're going to say, "Well, the scriptures say, judge not, so you won't be judged." Let me tell you about, I'm going to kind of paraphrase this. This was Paul writing to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 5th chapter. Paul writing to the church at 1 Corinthians. And in this scripture, there's a man there, sleeping with his stepmother. I mean, this was outrageous behavior, even for the heathens. But nobody in the church wanted to say anything about it. They didn't want to cause a fuss. They didn't want it mentioned. They just wanted to bury it like it didn't happen. Paul finds out about it. Paul is a long way away, but he's not going to sit back and let that happen. He's not going to be quiet about it. He's going to make a judgment from a long distance. And he said, man, you need to throw that bomb out. He says in that scripture, don't you know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? There are times where we as Christians have to make judgments. They must be made. And we have to be willing to make them. We have to be courageous enough to do it. Listen, you listen to your legal authorities and the people are going to tell you, man, don't get involved. Don't stick your neck out where it doesn't belong. You could be sued. It's to the point now we're afraid to help anybody, because if that person can turn against you and sue you for hurting you when you're just trying to help them. Listen, it's obvious investigations should occur before any accusations should be made. But we are failing to act. We're failing to make any kind of judgment. We're even failing to investigate. When that happens, you know what that is? You know what that's called? That's called indifference. That's called indifference. We're just turning our back and ignoring problems. We cannot do that as Christians. We cannot be indifferent. 2 weeks ago, I preached to you, if you're going to deal with Jesus, you cannot be neutral. You're one side or the other. Yeah. You cannot be indifferent when it comes to the things of Christ. Listen, we're called to live a life of love. That's what our love, that's what our life is supposed to be. Trust me. If you love something, if you love someone, you're not indifferent to them. It's important that we as Christians be able to make good, investigated judgment, that we'll be willing to stand up for what is right. What's wrong? We can't take this side this week and this side the next week. So that's what politicians do. They say this one time and then they'll come over here, depending who they're talking to. They'll say this to one person and this. That's ludicrous. That's wrong. We as Christians have to stand for what we believe. We have to stand up for what is right. But we don't need to be accusing people and judging people without ever trying to get to the bottom of it. When Jesus makes it very clear, it's dangerous. Let me tell you, it can be dangerous to make a judgment.
Amen.
That's precisely why Jesus put these scriptures in here so we have such detail about how we're supposed to do it. When we find somebody doing something wrong, it shouldn't be to make fun of them. It should be there to help them to change. Our motive should be to help them stop doing what they're doing so they can be forgiven and do something better.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not so much what people do. I say we. I'm not going to talk so much about us because I like y'all. I think you get that. You get that. But there are many people who want to judge people so they can put them down so you can look better. You can make other people feel small. One of the things that irks me the most is when people talk to me like I'm stupid. When they talk down to me. I have a boss at work. You need to understand, I've been at this company that I work since 1983. At one time, I was this guy's boss. I was his boss. I left, and I came back. Now, he's a boss, but every time he talks to me, he wants to make me, and I try to convince him, listen, I'm an old man. I've forgotten more than you know. And you just a little bit of respect. That's all I want you to do. Just a little bit of respect. Just like when I was your boss. Did I treat you the way you treated me? I didn't do the things that you did. Okay? That's just how it is with him. And that's the hardest thing for me to deal with. It's because it makes me feel, you know, so stupid sometimes. You know what? Sometimes I'm stupid. But I don't want to feel that way. I want somebody to make me feel that way. When we judge somebody, when we challenge somebody, when we want to correct somebody, we need to do it out of love. We need to be patient. We need to be kind. And we need to be forgiving. But we don't need to be indifferent to it. We don't need to be. We need to be willing to stand up for what's right. And it may not be the popular view, and it may not be the view that doesn't, people are going to attack you over it. Doesn't matter. You do what God expects of you. And let God handle the other, right?
Amen.
That's right. Heavenly Father, we see in the scriptures today how important it is for us not to judge other people. We don't know their situation. We don't know the whole story. Father, we're not all knowing like you. Father, you know everything. You are the ultimate judge. When you judge, you can judge fairly. We can't. We sometimes get our personal feelings involved in it. Sometimes we accuse people of things and we haven't investigated it at all. We've just heard something and immediately spoke against that person. Father, we come to you right now admitting that's a sin, Father. And we confess that sin to you right now. Father, we have all made mistakes. And it's so easy, Father, for us to see other people's sin and overlook our own. It's so easy for us to criticize, but never take that evaluation of our own life. Father, it's important that we deal with the sin in our own life as well as try to help other people. Father, we need to clean up our own backyard first. We need to make sure we are where we're supposed to be so we can help that person. Not criticize them, but help that person to change, to do the right thing. Father, I thank you that you give us a heart of love and kindness and forgiveness. Father, may we use that heart in the way we deal with people, treat people. Father, help us understand that other people are having struggles too, and that we are not perfect. Father, I pray that we will be willing, O Father, to stand up for what is right, to speak out when necessary, out of love and change, Father, that we can make people see that we are your disciples. We believe in what you have taught us, and we believe these things to our very core. They cannot change our mind. They cannot persuade us that something's different, that we are sold out on Jesus Christ and His ways of doing things. Father, I thank you for this time together today. Father, I thank you for the people that are in this auditorium right now. Father, I just speak blessings on all of them, Father. May they leave here today realizing that maybe they have made some unfair judgments against other people. They have made accusations that weren't true, or they never investigated, Father. They come to you right now, Father, I just pray that they'll ask for forgiveness of them. Father, maybe there's people like me who have failed to step up and say something wrong when it was wrong, that we acted indifferent, and that cannot be our attitude towards anything, towards God. Indifference is never acceptable, never good. Father, I thank you that you can change us and make us better. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Whatever God's calling me to do today,